What a privilege to be back defending the good word of God. We want chart number 10.
They told me I'd be better with this right here, so maybe we'll try that. What we are still wanting is Scripture that shows what Pat's affirmation is. He has not shown us where the gifts are for the giving of the completed New Testament. He has not shown us the Scripture that says when that which is perfect cometh, speaking of the completed New Testament. And He has still not given us the verse, we'll deal with that, that the prophets of verse 2 were true and not false prophets, while the other verses in that same text are talking about false prophets. Pat has not touched top nor bottom of the gifts giving New Testament law. I just want a verse. He didn't even allude to it. They just observed the Passover, went right by it. Where is the verse that tells us that the gifts of the Spirit gave us New Testament law and pass away when New Testament law is complete? Chart number 45. We're dealing with things that Pat does not know, and he told us some things that he did not know. One thing that we have found out through the questions that he has answered, he does not really know what he believes about that. He kept dealing with that time and at this time and at this time. He really doesn't know what that time is exactly. Does it begin at the coming of the Lord? End at the death of the Lord? At the ascension of the Lord? He said that one time. Now he's telling us he does not know when that is, the beginning or the end. And exactly what he doesn't know the time of the coming of the Lord. He doesn't know how many hairs are on his head. Where the epistle of the Laodiceans is. He doesn't know his own heart. These are all according to Scriptures. And he really doesn't know one verse to back up the proposition that we've got here and that we're dealing with. Chart number 25. He hasn't given us chart number 25. That's it, and I got it wrote down wrong. Purpose of the gift chart. What number is it? 27. Okay. All right, go right here. Purpose of the gifts. Now, we want him to show us where the gifts are for the giving of New Testament law. We have here that the gifts are for healing. We have here that the gifts are for speaking mysteries, but speaking not unto men, but unto God, mysteries in the Spirit. We have here where the gifts are for edification, exhortation, and comfort. We have for the gift a man that God works the gift of tongues to edify himself. He prophesies in the church. He edifies the church. We have that the gifts are for praying in the Spirit in an unknown tongue, for singing in the Spirit. Perhaps Pat can show us where we have an inspired songbook, if that is what the purpose of the gifts are for. We have that tongues are for a sign. We have that the secrets of a man's heart are made manifest. How about the next chart, since my numbers aren't exactly right here? The purpose of the gifts, we have here where men were revealed things that were going to happen, spoke those things and were used of God to affect such lives as the Apostle Paul, where men stood and prophesied that there would be famines. All I'm telling you, we could go on and on and on with this. Paul was warned that he was going to face trouble that was down the road. Go on and on, that none of these even allude to these gifts being given, that they were for the completion of New Testament law. Pat has not given us one Scripture. In fact, he's done a very, very good job of just ignoring that and ignoring what I have asked for. Chart number 38. We're not going to take time for the sake of time to just go all over this, but these are Scripture after Scripture after Scripture that tells us of the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of God, the outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and on and on and on. And none of them that have anything to do with giving the complete New Testament law. And then he jumped from there to Zechariah, and we want to follow the direction and the route that he went. Again, it would be real good that he could tell us that he has made up his mind, that he has decided when this time period is. If he wants us to believe something, then certainly he needs to know what he believes about it himself and what he is going to tell us about it himself. Chart number 39. Zechariah 13, that he dealt with. Again, we have the Greek word, the Hebrew word 50-30. That does mean a prophet or inspired man. He's telling us that means a true prophet. The only problem that we have with this dilemma is the very next verse that he tells us means false prophets. Why can't we be consistent here? Is exactly the same word that is being used in verse 2 right here. So let's have a little bit of consistency about this thing. And when you look at the context, when you look at what is being said here, he said, this cannot be false prophets because we still have false prophets today. I'm going to ask Mr. Donahue, are there still names of idols today? They're not cast out of the land, according to what is saying here and what we see here. Are there unclean spirits today? Let's be consistent. Some were sandwiched between the names of idols and unclean spirits. We have these so-called true prophets of God. It doesn't really fit. When you got unclean spirits and you got idols that God's wanting to get rid of, you've got false prophets sandwiched in the middle, not true prophets of God. And so, and stay in line with that, the prophets and the unclean spirits, the false prophets that speak by an unclean spirit, that support these idols and the names of these idols, false teaching, false prophets, sinful practice, they all go hand in hand. It's the duty of God's people to set ourselves resolutely against both and by all proper means to exclude them from our lives. But don't get up here and tell me, Mr. Couch or Michael, that's got to be true prophets there because we still have false prophets today. Then explain to me why we still have idols today. Explain to me why we still have unclean spirits today, and then we'll understand a little bit more about your ideology. Many times, God rid the land of false prophets. Many times God sent revival and cleaned up the people of God and backslid folks in a backslid nation as he's dealing with in the situation, such as 1 Kings chapter 18 and 40, where Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. They took them, Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Exactly what is being dealt with in Zechariah. Let's go to the next chart. True prophets are false prophets. Idols are false gods. Unclean spirits, false doctrine. They always go hand in hand. Deuteronomy 13 and 1, if there arise among you a prophet, same word in Zechariah, and that second verse that he is saying is a true prophet of God, the real prophet of God. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and give you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods. A true prophet's not going to say go after other gods. So I'm just telling you, when the word is used, don't tell me it has to be true prophets here and then a false prophet in the very next verse when it's exactly the same word. Verse 3, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, that inspired man, but he is a false prophet and a false dreamer of dreams. Deuteronomy 18:20, but the prophet, same word, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Dealing with the same idea of Zechariah and dealing with exactly the same word. You have the false prophet and you have the false gods. Deuteronomy again 13, you have the false prophets, you have the false gods. Next chapter, next chart. True prophets or false prophets? Numbers 11:29. Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets. This is talking about true prophets. But notice, and that the Lord would put His Spirit on them. What is the difference between a true prophet and a false prophet? It is His Spirit. And I submit to you that Zechariah said the Spirit was unclean. It was a false
1 Kings 22:22, the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go. This is the story of Ahab and Jehoshaphat. I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his, which is Ahab's prophets. What were these prophets? The same word that he's using in Zechariah. Inspired man. What was the difference in them? They were not the prophets of Jehovah. They were false prophets of Baal. They were false prophets. What was the difference? The difference was the spirit. That lion spirit that they had. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the land. What's the characteristic of a false prophet? An unclean spirit and idols, false gods. Revelation 16:13, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. I submit to you that the Word of God tells us plainly, when you see prophets with unclean spirits and with wrong spirits, they are not true prophets. They are not prophets of God, but they are false prophets. Go to the next chart. True prophets or false prophets? They deal falsely. Jeremiah 8:10. Jeremiah 23:14. We don't have to continue to belabor this. They commit adultery. They walk in lies. They just simply have problems. What I'm showing you here, every place you see the word prophet, you see the same word that Pat is claiming in Zechariah is true prophets, but yet I'm going to change it when I get to the next verse, next chart. Again, same situation. Again, God said, I'm going to deliver my people out of your hand. Almost uses the same terminology in Ezekiel 14:9-11. When you look at the very last of that, he's talking about these prophets. They are deceptive prophets, false prophets, but that they may be my people and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. Just the same terminology that was used in Zechariah when he told them he would be their God. But what was he going to do? I'm going to clean up the false prophets, the false idols, and the false spirits. They all go together and it's all hand in hand. Next chart. Do you get it yet? He made a big play on the word yet here, telling us this is the reason why we are transitioning from the idea of just true prophet now to what he could not deny, and obviously our false prophets in the very next verse. That word yet means iteration or continuous. It shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy. Iteration and iterating, a repetition, a continuance, when they shall continue to prophesy. Why don't we continue on from verse 2, the same prophets that he's talking about, when they shall continue to prophesy, that his father and mother that hath the God, him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. Same word for prophets is coming on down in verse 4. Same word for prophet is coming on down in verse 5. Exactly the same. They shall prophesy. These are talking about false prophets. Verse 2 is also talking about false prophets. If we're going to believe that one is talking about true prophets, let's carry it on through to the next verses. If we're not going to believe that, let's be consistent and leave it a false prophet in verse 2. Oh, consistency, thou art a jewel. Let us be consistent. All right. He dealt in Zechariah, and he keeps going on about this time period and what about this time period. And that's really not the issue that any of us have a problem with. It's not the time period. It is the fact that he's trying to rest this verse to mean true prophets because of what little bit he can rake and scrape to try to appear to prop up his proposition. If we knock this one down, then he has really nowhere to turn or really nowhere to go. We're still waiting on the verse. I'm telling you, he cannot use a verse that alludes to false prophets to try to prove that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased in our day. And that's what he's trying to prove. Give us the verse that tells us we no longer have the gifts of the Spirit in our day. Give us the verse that tells us that which is perfect
He's so hung up on that time period, so hung up on that time, but yet he does not, by the two questions that were asked him identically, and he gave us two different answers, he's not really sure about the time period himself. So why be hung up on the time period? That is not the problem. The problem is the question about these false prophets that he's trying to make true prophets. He dealt with James, chart number 32. Perfect law of liberty. Again, we go back and he's trying to tell us that James is talking about quality. He's trying to tell us that the perfect thing in Corinthians is trying to talk about quantity. Explain to me why we have got the same word with the same definition, but to fit my theory, I want the one word to talk about completeness or quality, and the other word to talk about the other. Why is there a difference here? I submit to you that James was talking about the perfect law of liberty, and if he's going to use the definition of fares, and he's going to use it in Corinthians and say this is talking about the Word of God, then we're for sure James was talking about the Word of God. Let's use the same definition and decide that the book of James, when it was written, didn't need anything else to go along with it. It was complete all by itself. You have the complete New Testament. He's going to have to throw some things out of his Bible that was written after. And Pat has a dilemma. He has a serious, serious problem. He also dealt with his chart, number 6, I believe it was, but he's talking again about apples to apples, and he said, that's fine. He said, because the lottery and a full-time job was the same thing, same nature. Did you get that? He said, since when is gambling and honest working the same nature, Mr. Donahue? I'm telling you, since when is sin and righteousness the same nature? He's got a little confusion in his belief and a little confusion in his doctrine and theology and ideology. Gambling and working is not the same nature. They are not alike. He needs to get up and clarify that. He needs to come back up here and say, I was wrong. One is sin, one is righteous, and sin and righteousness, certainly he doesn't believe they are the same nature. Oh, hallelujah. Apples to apples. So, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 1, 6, 7, and 8, the middle of that, he said, so that you come behind and no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord. He's going to tell us that he believes that in Corinthians it's talking about that which is perfect has come, has got to be the completed New Testament. It cannot be the coming of the Lord because the gift he's trying to deal with and the coming of the Lord is not apples to apples. Paul, you got a problem. Brother Couch is accused of not being apples to apples. Paul is too. And you come behind in no gift. He said the gifts were the apples, but the coming of the Lord was the oranges. Don't come behind in the apples while you wait for the oranges, but you got them all together, and Paul must have had a problem, and Paul must have had some kind of imperfect understanding of what he was trying to preach and put in New Testament scripture, New Testament doctrine. How much time have we got? God bless you. We are having a great time in the Holy Ghost.